श्री भगवान उवाच हरत नैवेह नामोत्रा विनाशष्ठस्य विद्यते नहि कल्याण कृत कश्चिद् दुर्गतिं तत गच्छति. The blessed Lord said, Son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil.
भगवान ने अर्जुन से कहा, हे पृथा के पुत्र, जो दिव्य व्यक्ति जो मंगलकारी कार्य में लगा है, वो न इस दुनिया में उसका नाश होता है, न आध्यात्मिक जगत में, क्योंकि जो अच्छाई करता है वो कभी बुरे से प्रभावित नहीं होता.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Narada Muni instructs Vyasadeva as follows. Tyaktva sudharamam charanam bhajam hare bhajan apakvo tatapate tato yadi yatra kva vabhadram abhudamushyakim kovarat. The Blessed Lord said, O son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. In this beautiful verse from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna assures us that the path of real fearlessness is the path of bhakti.
Krishna Bhagavan is chhathe adhyay ke shlok mein batate hain ki nirbhayata ka marg hai bhakti ka marg.
Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. This is a world where there is danger at every step.
Is duniya mein har kadam par khatra hi khatra hai.
Not only the physical dangers in which we can be inflicted by disease, by mental depression, by loss of all of our property and loved ones, or even by death at any moment. The only thing certain in this world is that we will have to suffer and die in due course of time.
इस दुनिया में एक ही चीज सुनिश्चित है और वो है कि हमें दुख भोगकर एक दिन मरना ही होगा.
And when that time may be, no one knows. It could take place at any moment.
और वह समय कब होगा कोई नहीं जानता, किसी भी क्षण में हो सकता है।
कृष्ण एक्सप्लेन्स मायाध्यक्षेन प्राकृति सूयते सचराचरम। It is the nature of this material world, but he is the controller of this material existence. And therefore, one who takes shelter of Krishna is protected on all sides at all times. But how Krishna protects his devotees is something very wonderful.
लेकिन कैसे कृष्ण में भक्ति रक्षा करते हैं वो बड़ी अद्भुत चीज है।
Sometimes Krishna allows his devotees to come under the influence of material energy just to learn a particular lesson by which that devotee seeks deeper shelter of his lotus feet.
कभी कभी भगवान जो है भक्त को ऐसी जगह पर डाल देते हैं जिससे कि वो फिर से जो है भगवान के चरणों के आश्रय को ग्रहण करे।
And other times Krishna personally arranges for his devotee to come under illusion just for the sake of teaching others. I would like to briefly examine these two types of illusion. One was Arjuna. Here in Kurukshetra, Arjuna, who was the dearmost friend and certainly a liberated pure devotee of the Lord, he came under great bewilderment at Jyotisar. How is it that a person fixed in transcendental knowledge would become so attached to material relationships?
ऐसा कैसे है कि जो व्यक्ति दिव्य ज्ञान के स्तर पर स्थित है वो भौतिक रिश्तों से इतना आसक्त हो जाए।
And in that attachment lose all of his good intelligence.
और इस आसक्ति में जो है व्यक्ति अपनी बुद्धि को खो देता है।
Arjuna was presenting so many arguments to Lord Krishna, but he was completely forgetful of the only goal of life, and that is how to please Krishna.
अर्जुन अनेक तरह का विवाद कर रहा था लेकिन वो इस बात को भूल गया था कि जीवन का उद्देश्य जो है।
This material world is created in such a way that however intelligent you may be, however scientifically or technologically advanced you may be, however wealthy and powerful you may be, if you are not living according to Krishna's will, for Krishna's pleasure, you will definitely be bewildered and frustrated by material nature.
ये दुनिया ऐसी बनाई गई है कि आप किसी भी स्थिति में हो अगर आप कृष्ण की इच्छा के लिए नहीं जी रहे हैं तो अंत में जो है आप दुखी प्राप्त करेंगे।
When Srila Prabhupada first came to the United States of America, after just a few years of his preaching, he was very amused by the humorous nature of material entanglement.
जब श्री प्रभुपाद जी अमेरिका में आए थे कुछ ही समय हुआ था तो बड़े आश्चर्यचकित हुए थे दुनिया के बंधन का स्वभाव देखकर।
At that time, the most powerful man in all the world, the President of the United States, who campaigned for so many years to attain this position,
उस समय दुनिया का सबसे शक्तिशाली व्यक्ति जो अमेरिका के प्रेसिडेंट था उसने भी उसके लिए बहुत प्रयास किया था उस गद्दी को प्राप्त करने के लिए।
And he was so famous and so adored by everyone.
वो सबके द्वारा बहुत मशहूर थे, सबके द्वारा पूजित माने जाते थे।
And he had so much money.
उनके पास बहुत धन था।
And he had all military forces at his command.
सारी सेना उनके आज्ञा पर थी।
He was controlling not only the country of America, but through influence most of the world.
न केवल अमेरिका को वश में कर रहे थे, बल्कि अपने प्रभाव के द्वारा दूसरे भी देशों को वश में कर रहे थे।
But somehow or other, due to greed and pride in his heart, he made some mistake.
लेकिन किसी कारणवश लोभ के कारण, अभिमान के कारण उन्होंने कोई गलती कर दी।
And he became the most unpopular person on the planet.
और पूरे दुनिया में जो है बहुत ही कुविख्यात हो गए।
He was publicized as being a great cheater.
ऐसे का नाम फैले कि बड़े धोखेबाज हैं।
You may have heard of President Richard Nixon.
President Nixon के बारे में आपने सुना होगा।
And he was forced to resign in utter humiliation.
और उनका पूरा जो मान सम्मान नष्ट होकर उनको जबरदस्ती इस्तीफा देना पड़ा।
From the biggest position, he was kicked out of his office.
सबसे ऊंची गद्दी से उनको नीचे गिरा दिया गया।
And when he resigned, he said, I do not think anyone can suffer as much as I am suffering today. And just a few years ago when he died, just before his death, he said, I have never overcome the suffering of the humiliation of my being kicked out of office. For 30 years he had nothing but mental anxiety. And then he died for years and years, terrible, terrible physical pain. So Srila Prabhupada was there saying, explaining to us that even if you are in the biggest position, in one moment you can be kicked out. That is the nature of this world. Srila Prabhupada also told us the story of how Indra, the king of Swargaloka, he was at one time, because he made a mistake and insulted a great sage, he was cursed to become a hog on earth. Indra, who has the most beautiful, beautiful palaces, the beautiful Nandanandana garden where the Parijata tree alone flowers and blooms, with so many beautiful apsaras and queens dancing and singing for him, he was forced to come down to this world to become hog. He was forced to give up all the fine foods cooked by the heavenly chefs and eat stool. And his beautiful wife Sachi, who's so elegant that people lose their minds upon seeing her, he had to give her up and get married to a female hog. This is material life. And the problem with material nature is even when you try so hard, somehow or other you make mistakes. It is beyond our control. And according to the laws of karma, we can try so hard, but one mistake and we have to pay the karmic result. But material nature is so wonderful that Indra became so attached to his hog wife and pig children, and he became so attached to eating nice, moist stool that he didn't want to give it up. So when it was time for him to return to heaven, the devatas said, Indra, come, return. He said, I'm too busy. I have to maintain my family. And even Brahma himself said, Indra, come, return to Swargaloka. He said, how can I leave my beautiful wife? She's such a lovely pig. And my children, they look just like me. Such handsome pigs. How can I give them up? And what to speak of all this nice stool I'm eating? Where will I get like this in Indraloka? So this is the situation. We are all eternally part of Krishna. Our eternal world is in the spiritual sky, in one of the Vaikuntha planets, where everything is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, where we have bodies which are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. There is no birth, old age, disease or death, where everything is Chintamani. Whatever desire we have is immediately fulfilled. And everyone is ecstatically immersed in pure, unalloyed love for God and for one another. It's the place of perfect happiness. And yet we are in this world, living like hogs. And yet the Lord comes to this world and says, please come back. And He sends His representatives, the great rishis, saints, and spiritual masters, to invite us. Please, go back home, back to Godhead. This is the way. But our reply is, I am too busy. Eating the stool of material enjoyment. Living like the pigs, growing old, getting diseased and dying. So a few minutes ago, we were all laughing at the predicament and foolishness of Indra. But we are all just like that. That is the problem. So we should... But then what happened is, Brahma realized that Indra is an illusion. So he arranged for a farmer to come, and right in front of Indra's eyes, he slaughtered his children. And then he slaughtered his wife. And then he came to Indra and said, now I will slaughter you. And then Indra said, I'm ready to go back. Take me home, back to Swargaloka. So similarly, usually, unfortunately, this is what has to go through in our life before we take seriously our real mission of going back to Krishna. The whole world falls apart around us. And then we think, oh, Krishna save me. Anyways, Arjuna, being the intimate personal friend of Lord Sri Krishna, he had nothing to do with these illusions. But Krishna put him in this illusion just to teach us. The Bhagavad Gita was spoke for you and me. And Arjuna was playing like a theatrical actor. He was playing our part. Just so Krishna could enlighten us. But sometimes, even great devotees, due to the temptations of material energy, they fall under illusion. An example of this was Bharat Maharaj. He was a great king. The whole world, Bharatvarsha, was named after him. And after he ruled the kingdom in perfect God consciousness, he was the son of the Supreme Lord, Rishabhdev. He resigned and retired into devotional life. He dwelled in the Himalayas on the banks of the holy river Gandaki. And there he worshipped the Lord in the form of Shalagram Shila. He was constantly chanting his names and meditating on his beautiful form. And tears of love would flow from his eyes. But one day, being very compassionate, he saw a mother deer running away from a lion. And that lion was trying to eat the deer, so she jumped across the Gandaki River. And the lion roared. And this created such fear in the mother's heart that the child that was in her womb was miscarried and fell into the water. And a mother naturally loves her child. So when she saw her child drowning and she was helpless to save, the mother wept so bitterly she could not maintain her life. Today, in the name of family planning, women are voluntarily murdering their own children in the womb. And they consider their own child not even to be human. Just like the removal of some scar tissue from their body. In this way, human beings have become more heartless than the animals. Even the natural motherly love of an animal is hardly present within human society. But Bharat Maharaj was thinking that the mother is dead and this beautiful little infant deer is drowning. I must save it. So he went in the water and rescued the deer with his own hands. But then he was thinking, now this deer has no mother, no father, it has only me, so I must protect it. So in the mood of compassion and service, he began to protect this deer. He already left all the wealth of the kingdom. He left beautiful, beautiful, faithful wife and family behind for self-realization. And then he became attached to the deer. So we should know that in this material world, even when on the spiritual path, there is always temptations and always great tests that we have to pass. So Bharat Maharaj ultimately died thinking of his loving affection for this little deer. This was because he was not attentive. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that if we want to make proper advancement, we must be very, very attentive. People become very spiritually lazy. And this is what happened to Bharat Maharaj. He was so much trying to take care of the deer, he was neglecting his own sadhana. Similarly, in this world, we have so many occupations. But atato brahma jigyasa. Our first occupation is to become purified. But sometimes we become so engrossed in our worldly duties, in our social obligations, that we put aside our own sadhana. Sadhana means sadhu satsang, associating with devotees, saintly people. Hearing from them, serving them, reading shastra like Gita or Bhagavat,
offering
puja in our home or in the temple, especially regularly and attentively chanting the holy names according to a regulated vow, living a very pure and moral life. These are the most essential parts of sadhana. Becoming spiritually lazy means we become so enthusiastic and so determined to perform our worldly duties that we forget these things. Of course, some people consider that their worldly work is their sadhana. Work is worship. That may be your opinion. Arjuna also had so many opinions. But Krishna disagrees. Jagyarthat kamanon yatra lokumam karma bandana taratam karma kunteya mukta sangha samacha. Krishna says, and Krishna is the knower of the truth. You have your opinion, I have my opinion, so many philosophers have their opinions, but Krishna is the source of truth. And Krishna says, work done in consciousness of me, in devotion to me, will free you from bondage. Every other work you do will only incriminate you in further bondage. And the great acharyas explain how we must have strong sadhana in our life to purify our consciousness so that our work is worship. Otherwise, our work is simply karmic activities meant for bondage. After all, Arjuna was to fight this great battle. But in order for him to fight in the proper consciousness, he had to put everything aside and sit at Jyotisar and hear from Krishna. Because he took that time aside to exclusively fix his mind on the words of Krishna. Therefore, he was in the proper consciousness to fight without bondage. So we must be willing to put everything else aside for a certain substantial part of our day just to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And we require a spiritual master to teach us in a practical way what is the process. Advidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastuta darshana. Krishna explains this is necessary. So this is very important. Even a great soul like Maharaj Bharat, who was on the preliminary stages of bhava, he fell down because he became inattentive and became so much thoughtful of his worldly duties that he neglected his sadhana. So we should not think we are so great that we can neglect our sadhana. Whoever we are. But Krishna says in Gita, Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo nivijyate svalpamapyasya dharamasya trayate mahatobaya. Whatever advancement you make is never lost. And Narada Rishi explains to Vyasadeva, tyaktvasva dharamam charanam bhajam harir, that even if you fall down, even if you fail to go any higher in spiritual life and you lose what you have, it's only temporarily forgotten, but Krishna will again bring you back. Of this there is no doubt.
तो भी जो आपने प्राप्त किया वो खोते नहीं है और कृष्णा को वापस ले आएंगे, इसमें कोई शक नहीं है.
So although Bharat Maharaj died and became a deer, because he was not only a deer, but he was also someone who was dear to Krishna. In his deer, he was still dear to Krishna. He was a deer. And that is very dear. So he had the consciousness of a human being. And he remembered everything of his previous life. So he was thinking, I made a big mistake. In this life I'm going to only associate with sadhus. So that little deer, wherever there was satsang in the forest, he would just listen. And gradually the deer died and the soul entered into a family of Brahmins. And in this birth he became known as Jad Bharat. His father was very learned. And he had also brothers who were very, very ritualistic and learned in scriptures. But he was thinking that if he's in any way recognized or respected for any good qualities, he will become proud and lose his attention for devotion to God. Because false pride is a great enemy. Even if you renounce everything of the world, if you become proud that I have renounced, you forget Krishna. The quality of the chanting of the name is not correct. There are many wonderful examples of this. Of great, great renunciates who perform tremendous tapasya and live in the sannyas order. But their chanting of the holy name is contaminated by so much pride. And there is examples of simple housewives with husband and children doing ordinary activities, but they are very humble. And they are chanting the holy name in the spirit of great humility, and how they become perfect in their life. They achieve Krishna. But such proud sannyasis, all they achieve is the burden of all their tapasyas. So Jad Bharat pretended to be a great fool. He did everything opposite of what was socially acceptable. His father told him, after you go to bath to respond to nature, then you wash your hands. So he would very carefully wash his hands, then respond to nature. And that was the end. And he would do everything in such a way, his body became black, his Brahmin thread became black, his hair became matted, and nobody knew what to do with this boy. The father was always trying to instruct him with great patience. But then the father died. And his brothers could not tolerate him. They thought he was a fool and a rascal. In fact, he was very bad for the prestige of their family. So they decided what to do with this useless soul. So they decided in the field So many animals and crows come to eat our grains. So we will just have them stand there like a they call it scarecrow in the West. Just to stand there, and the animals will think somebody is there and go away. So he was standing. He was quite happy just standing. People would throw things at him and insult him and spit on him and pass urine on him, and he would just be thinking of Krishna, very happy. If Krishna is pleased, our life is perfect. Even if the whole world hates us. But if Krishna is displeased, our life is a failure. Even if the whole world is coming to put their heads on our feet. So while he was standing there like a crazy man, some dacoits came searching. Actually, this happened in Kurukshetra. Haribo. So many pastimes took place in Kurukshetra. So these dacoits, they were very powerful. Because they worshipped the goddess Kali. Now we should know that goddess Kali is actually the Shakti of Shiva. And therefore she is a pure devotee. She's an expansion of an expansion of Parvati, who's an expansion of Lakshmi Devi. But people who are very much materialistic and very much in the mode of tamoguna, they worship her according to their own concocted ideas. Our Guru Maharaj explained to us that some people offer meat and blood to Kali. Some of you may have been to Kali Ghat in Calcutta, where they decorate her body with blood from goats and buffaloes. Very sad. Vaishnavas cannot tolerate this. Even children cannot tolerate this. Even Kali cannot tolerate this. Prabhupada explains that Lord Shankar is Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu. He is an expansion of Vishnu in the role of the greatest devotee of Vishnu. And Kali will not, Parvati will never eat anything that is not first eaten by her husband. And her husband will never eat anything that is not offered to his Lord, Bhagavan. So Shiva will never eat meat because he cannot offer it to Vishnu. So Kali will never eat meat. So when people offer it, she gives it to the bhutas who surround her. So it is actually not Kali Prasad. It is Bhuta Prasad. The mercy of bhutas. But Kali will never eat these things. But anyways, people who do not understand the conclusions of the scriptures properly, they have all of their various rituals, and they get from these bhutas, they get great, great supernatural powers. So, they would regularly offer human being to goddess. So they would go out and search for a very, very fit, perfect human being. And they would capture him. So they found Jadbharat standing in the field. He did not resist. They just took him away. They took him here to Kurukshetra. Rivo. According to legend. This is the place. So then they prepared him very nicely by giving him bath and putting nice oils all over his body and putting nice, fresh, new silk clothes on him and decorating him with ornaments and trying to comb his hairs. They were thinking he's a perfect offering. And then they brought him before Kali Devi. In fact, the Bhadra Kali deity that is here in Kurukshetra, this was the deity, it is said, that they brought Jad Bharat before. And then the pujari, this pujari did not have a ghee lamp deep, he had a chopper. And they placed Jad Bharat's head right at Kali's feet. And they began to chant so many mantras. Sanskrit mantras. Because they were Pandit dacoits. And just at the conclusion of all of their elaborate rituals, the offering of the head and the blood of a human was to be offered to Kali. So the priest took the big, big, heavy sword and he lifted it up and he started to make it go down. And Jad Bharat was just watching, thinking of Krishna. Mari Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mari Ke.
Krishna.
If Krishna wants me to die, then let me die. If Krishna wants to save me, then what can this sword do? Even in such a predicament of life, he was fearless because he was always remembering Krishna with faith. It's easy to talk about our faith, but when we are put in a situation of being this close to death, that is the test of whether our faith is real or whether it is just a show. So as the sword was coming down, Jad Bharat was just welcoming, and Kali, she could not tolerate this injustice to Krishna's devotee. So right from this Bhadra Kali deity, Kali herself, in a personal form, appeared. And emanating from this deity, so many of Kali's associates started coming out. And Kali Devi took the sword from the pujari and cut the pujari's head. Kali Mata ki! And then she went to every single dacoit and cut all their heads. And then her and her associates started taking their heads and throwing them to each other like balls. Harivo! In Kurukshetra, these types of pastimes happen. Blood and cut off heads and these things. Because it is the Leela of the Lord. It is all perfect manifestation of the Lord's mercy. And as they were playing, catching the heads with blood everywhere, they were screaming in ecstasy. But it was angry ecstasy. And Kali and all the associates bowed down before Jad Bharat. Because even the gods and the demigods and the goddesses, they bow at the feet of Krishna's pure devotees, who are detached from all things of this world and who are fully immersed in remembering the Lord and fearlessly seeking His shelter in all circumstances. So then Jad Bharat just went walking into the jungles. So later today, some of us are going to visit this Bhadrakali temple. You can offer your prayers. In fact, there's a place in Vrindavan where Krishna became Kali. Javat. Javat is the place where... Should I tell the story? It's off track. But sometimes tracks go off but come back. Anyways, it is the village of Abhimanyu, who was the expansion of Krishna, that married Srimati Radharani. And Radharani's mother-in-law and sister-in-law was Kutila and Jatila. So what happened is, Radharani, Krishna was in a secluded place with Sri Radharani. And Jatila suspected that Krishna is there. And she told Abhimanyu and Kutila that, you see, Krishna is in a secret place with Radharani. So they went to that place. And Radharani was very afraid. What will they do if they see me with Krishna? Some say they were hiding in closet together. So when they opened the door, Radharani was very much afraid. What will they say? And when she looked at them, she saw them all bowing down. She was thinking, they will never bow down to Krishna. Why are they bowing down? And Radharani looked behind her, and Krishna had assumed the form of Goddess Kali. And they were thinking that she's worshipping Goddess Kali very nicely. In this way, that deity of Goddess Kali, or in the place where this pastime happened, it is still in Vrindavan. So anyways, Jad Bharat, after receiving the blessings and giving the blessings, he went into the jungle. And there, he was just roaming around, and all people who saw him just thought he was crazy man, insulting him in so many terrible ways. But then the king, Rahugana, was on a procession. The king was actually a great seeker of the truth. And it is said he was searching for a spiritual master who could enlighten him. For one who... Krishna is in everyone's heart. Gita explains, Iswara sarva bhutanam pradeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudani maya. That Krishna within everyone's heart is directing our wanderings according to our desires. No one finds a guru. But Krishna reveals the guru to you. If you are sincere to know the truth, Krishna will reveal a guru who will reveal the truth. If you want to be cheated, Krishna will reveal a guru who will cheat you. But everything is happening by the mercy of Krishna. So, Ruhugana was in a royal procession on a palanquin, and one of his four palanquin carriers became injured. So they went to the forest to find someone who can help. And they found Jad Bharat. He was very strong looking. So they told him, "You take this palanquin." So he accepted one of the four sides and started to walk. But there was an ant that crossed the road in front of him. And the nature of a devotee is he cannot tolerate seeing any pain or harm caused to any living being. Because a devotee sees that every living being is part of Krishna, his beloved. Gita explains, Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani gavihastini suni chaiva swabhake cha pandita samadarshanaha. That a great devotee, a real Brahman, he sees everyone with equal vision. Whether one be a learned Brahman, or a cow, or an elephant, or a dog, or even the lowest class of human beings called chandalas or dog eaters. He sees that the soul within every heart is part of God. This is the fundamental beginning of Gita's teachings. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavata vanabhuna. Ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sarira. That we are not these bodies made of the five gross elements. And we are not this mind, intelligence or ego. But we are the eternal soul, the Atma within the heart. And to know the difference between the body and the soul is the beginning of knowledge. And no matter how many degrees we have in universities, and no matter how many slokas we may memorize, and no matter how much technology we may be acquainted with, if we do not understand and realize this fact, we are in ignorance. This is the king of education. And this is the education that Bhagavad Gita, which was spoken here in Kurukshetra, is meant to enlighten the entire world with. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janma jara janma saratika karakara para upakar. That everyone born in this great land of India, of Bharat, is responsible. It is your duty to understand in truth the principles of Gita through a proper spiritual master and give this knowledge to the world. Because the whole world practically is in ignorance because they do not understand what is matter and what is spirit. And the whole world is depending on the people of India to give this knowledge of the Gita. And there's so much suffering, so much degradation and immorality. But the greatest misfortune in all of the world is instead of the land of India exporting the highest knowledge of the teachings of Gita, it is importing the ignorance
of Western civilization. Of course, this microphone is Western technology. And this electricity and these lights are also a form of Western technology. In fact, the light bulb was invented just close to where we live in America. One of the most exalted disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Her Grace Malati Devi, is sitting here very humbly in the corner. She is one of the original disciples of Srila Prabhupada. She was his personal cook and personal servant in many ways for many, many years. She opened so many centers for Srila Prabhupada. And was one of her most dearmost daughters. Now she's temple president of a temple in Columbus, Ohio. And just about an hour or so from Columbus, Ohio, is the place where Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Yes? Huh? No, it's in Ohio. Anyway, it's very close. So, these things are Western technology. There's nothing wrong with Western technology as long as they are used according to the principles of truth. And the truth is, we are all eternally spirit souls, part of Krishna, His eternal servants, and we should use everything, all the resources of this world, in His loving service. That is what Gita teaches. Arjuna had learned so much technology, much better than Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison made one bulb which made light. But Arjuna had the technology where he could chant the mantra and create a brahmastra which would light up the entire universe. But he used it for Krishna. Ashwatthama knew the same technology. He also had the power to make a light brahmastra which could light up the universe. But he used this technology for his own selfish purposes. And therefore he was miserably condemned. And Arjuna was exalted. So the Bhagavad Gita is the knowledge which has been spoken directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself for the whole world's benefit. And according to God Himself, it is the duty of every person born in this land of India, what to speak of Kurukshetra itself, to understand through the guidance of a proper spiritual master what are the true teachings of Gita and to live by it with exemplary behavior for the benefit of the whole world. So Bharat Maharaj, Jad Bharat, he had this understanding that the spirit soul in every heart is part of my Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The spirit soul can never become God. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. But it is eternally the dear part of God. Jivera swarupoi Krishna ranitidas. Eternally the loving servant of the Lord. But temporarily, that natural propensity to serve God and love God has been forgotten by the souls of this world. And we fall under the illusion that I am this body and I am meant to enjoy through this body. and help others in the name of loved ones to enjoy through their bodies. But real love is to enlighten our own soul and to enlighten other souls with the gift of bhakti. So Jadbharat, he was saying that my own brothers and sisters in the form of these ants who are part and parcel of Krishna, they are walking on the road. I do not want them to be disturbed. So he stopped walking.